Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the ability to do the things you've called us to do. Lord, if we'll just yield to you. God, it's not rocket science. We've made it so difficult to be witnesses for you. And Father, we find out that your Holy Spirit just moving in us. If we'll just yield to you, Lord, you'll let us know. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for all you've done this morning thus far. Now we ask that you anoint the word, Lord, and bring us to a place of productivity in this hour. Father, let us take advantage of what you've done in the heavenlies with this rain and the flood and the removal of obstacles, God. Lord, this is the hour. We do pray for those that are in leadership. We pray for the changes, immense changes that are taking place. We thank you that this morning Planned Parenthood is being defunded. Lord, we thank you that that bill is being signed even as we speak this morning, God. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the absolute turnaround that's happened. Father God, it's grace. Lord, we shouldn't be surprised by your answer to prayer, but we are. It takes our breath away, God, the things that you're doing so rapidly and so quickly. Lord, we're living under an open heaven right now. Father, let us take advantage of that. This is a season of answered prayer. It's a season of answered prayer, Lord. It's a season of answered prayer. Now is the time to ask. Now is the time to knock. Now is the time to seek God. And Lord, we call those that have been away so long. We say to the north, give up. Say to the south, hold not back. Say to the east and the west, let my people go. Lord, we thank you for the release of the captives. We thank you, Father, for opening the eyes of the blind, unstopping the ears of the deaf, God. This is an hour of victory for the church. It's an hour of victory for your people, God. Lord, let us take every advantage of it, God. Moving in your direction. Father, thank you for your word. Blossom it in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Acts chapter 10 this morning. Acts chapter 10. I'm reading from verses 1 to 8. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian band or regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. God came to save the world and everyone in it. How many know that? Yes. In chapter 8, we saw Philip go to Samaria, a place that was forbidden for the Jew to go, and he preached the gospel and many were saved. Now we witness here a centurion, a Roman, called out to God and received an answer from a converted Jew. We need to realize that all mankind are candidates for salvation. Amen. I had opportunity, sadly, to see some of the march on Washington yesterday. I heard a woman called Madonna giving her little speech. She said, I'd like to burn down the White House, but that wouldn't help. And I was very angry in my spirit. Yes. The Lord said, I died for her. We've got to start looking at things differently. She's just ignorant. She's ignorant of the ways of the Lord. But as long as she's breathing in and breathing out, there's hope. She looked like she was breathing in and breathing out too. Wow. Help me, Jesus. Can't see. Whew. Okay. How many would like to see Madonna saved? Amen. We were at the police station on Tuesday praying, pastors. Mick was there and we prayed. We prayed for the officers there, and we also prayed against all the drug problems here in Fulton County. The next day, the largest bust in Fulton County happened. $220,000 was seized in a house. 3 pounds of methamphetamines. Amen. Long rifles, guns, marijuana. 3 pounds. Oh, 2 pounds of methadone pills, yeah. And $220,000. I wonder if the police want to tithe off that thing. Hallelujah. Woo. Give me another one, God. Anyway, God answers prayer. Quickly, He's answering prayer. There's been a shift in the heavenlies. So if you prayed prayers before, there's an open heaven right now. God is favoring us with answered prayer. Let me say it again. God is favoring us with answered prayer. Cornelius wasn't even a Christian. He was ignorantly seeking the God. He was a Roman soldier. Rome virtually worshiped tons of gods, all kinds of gods. And here Cornelius was seeking the Lord. And he gets an angelic visitation. Angel of the Lord appears to him. Even ignorantly, he was seeking the Creator with his whole heart. There are people right now that don't know it, but they're seeking God with their whole heart. They're looking for an answer. They don't sound too good. They're offensive, but they're crying out to God in their own way. And God is about to answer them. Cornelius was drawn by the Holy Spirit. Angel of the Lord appeared to him. Don't be so quick to judge someone that is seeking God in his or her own way, but is doing it sincerely. You know, God draws the lost. Cornelius was praying about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and he had a vision. Sinners have visions? Only godly people can have visions. No. My Bible says Cornelius had a vision. We need to pray for the lost. Fervently. God speaks to heathen and have a heart to seek Him? I didn't think God would waste His time on the heathen. No, that's who He came to die for. He already has us. He didn't come to get the well. He came to get the sick. Watch what the ingredients were that draw the Lord's attention. He was a devout man. Feared God. With his whole family being taught to fear God as well, Scripture says. He gave. He was a giver. Gave to others freely. And he prayed to God continually. I want to ask you a question. Do you know anyone like Cornelius? It's not a Christian that prays. If so, is the Holy Spirit drawing you to him or her? Just to tell them, the good news. Two things that drew the Lord's attention was prayers and giving. The instructions that follow are incredulous to me. An angel of God asked him to send a Joppa for Peter, giving the responsibility to open the Gentile world to Peter instead of just doing it himself. I've talked about that many times. It's one of the quandaries that we see in Scripture. God involves man in the process of salvation. And I thought about it, I studied a little bit, why did he tell Cornelius to send men, not go himself? Because his life would have been in danger if Cornelius would have traveled to Joppa as a Roman soldier, going to see a Christian. Christians were being persecuted. And so God called the Christian to come to the soldier. Come on, somebody. He sent men to get the man that was to come that would change his life forever. We have to be willing to go because many aren't going to want to come, see? We want them to come to church. Many aren't going to come here because of persecution, because of all things being made fun of. Listen, you can lead somebody to the Lord in a bar. That's why Jesus said go. He didn't say ask them to come. He said go. Verse 9 says, the next day as they went on their journey and drew near the city, or cedar if you like, Peter, trying to hold it together, I really am. Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Whew. And he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down on the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times and the object was taken up into heaven again. God uses the Christian. Our only valid reason for being here is to be used of God. It's not taking up space. It's not gathering things to ourselves. Not any of that. That's all gravy. That's all mercy. That's all gone. Our only valid reason for being here is to have Him use us as vessels for Him. As tools for Him. There's no other valid reason to be here. Otherwise, let's go home. The servant of God must be ready to hear from God at any time. What Peter saw and heard went against his upbringing and the ceremonial law of the Jew. God told him to do something that he had been raised never to do. Rise, kill and eat. He said, I haven't ever done that, God. God had to speak to him through his religion to get to his faith. And I know you and I don't have all those religious trappings in us, see? We don't get turned off when somebody swears and cusses and uses the Lord's name in vain. We're not like that guy in the elevator trying to grasp for something that would be valid, see? Because we've gotten religious, you and I. There's a certain way to do things, there's a certain way to not. We don't want to hang with people that don't do things like that. How else are they going to know Jesus if we don't hang with them? Come on, somebody. I always get amazed with somebody that's offended for somebody cursing. Stop cursing, I'm a Christian. Well, Jiminy Crickets, take care of yourself. If somebody swearing is going to cause you to backslide, you got more problems than one. If somebody swearing is going to hurt you, you got more problems than one. They're ignorant. How can you ask them to clean their life up before God touches them? Come on, somebody. So Peter went up in the roof to pray. Prayer times were morning and evening, but the more devout prayed three times a day, so it was around noon. The physical yearnings were set aside for the heavenly vision. He was hungry, but the Lord spoke to Peter through his hunger to get to his spirit. the law that Peter was raised in has not come into question. The religious upbringing that some have has hindered the gospel in their lives. And if you understood that, you're better than me. The religious upbringing that some have had hinders the gospel in their lives. God wants to do radical things. Jesus was a radical guy. He hung out where nobody would hang out. He hung out with prostitutes and drunkards. Come on, somebody. While they were doing their thing. Jesus wants to be radical in this day, and we've not radicalized the gospel in our lives. We've not done that. We've got certain ways that we're supposed to do things. After all, if you don't got a pamphlet with the four spiritual laws, you don't want to witness to anybody because maybe you'll forget. Or you got to look at a band or a Bible. I understand that, and that's sometimes good tools, but sometimes we just need to let it just come out of us and be led by the Holy Ghost. But it comes into question, this law that Peter was raised in. God declared all food clean, by the way. Matthew 15:16 says, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." And I feel a caution from the Lord. We've got to be very careful. We've got the upper hand because of what's happened politically in the last week. We don't have nothing if we choose to criticize and to badger and to make fun of those who are blind and deaf. We need to pray for that. We need to pray more now than we did before. We need to continue in prayer that they see the error of their ways, that they come to the Lord during this open heaven time, because the time's coming quickly when all that we heard this morning prophetically, it's going to be a quick work. God is speaking to us. Do we hear Him? I don't know if I'm the only one, but when you're in prayer, God's invading our prayer. You know, He's telling us to shut up. Are you getting that? You're praying to God, you're asking, you know, bless the cat, bless my wife, bless it. God says, shut up, I want to talk to you. This is prayer, I want to communicate with you. He's laying people on our heart to intercede for. Am I the only one? I mean, you're interceding for people you haven't prayed for in a long time. And you even find yourself praying for people you don't even like. Like yesterday with Madonna, I mean, there's nothing I like about her songs and what she does, and God said, I died for her. What a witness that would be. She grabbed the mic and said, I've been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Shut the karamamanta key. Hallelujah. God had to speak to Peter three times. Callings of God to evangelize will often bump into our theology. And we will have a decision to make. So God didn't do it once, didn't do it twice, did it three times. Because Peter had a little thick skull. I know none of us are like that. At the same time we are being dealt with, God is preparing hearts to receive what we have to say. The Holy Spirit, you better believe it, the Holy Spirit has given dreams and visions and given words to the unsaved right now. He's not going to lead them to Christ. We've got that job. But He's speaking to them and He's drawing them by His Spirit. Some don't even know, can't even figure it out. All they know is they're done. They want God. And He's faithful in speaking to them. Acts 10:17, now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had some inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. You realize how important this is. The Gentile world was about to be opened up to the gospel because of one man being obedient. This just seems like when you read the story with myopic view, Peter going to Cornelius, this shook the Gentile world. God uses divine appointments. We don't know when we come into touch with somebody, when we get in an elevator with somebody, or we get set down beside somebody on a train or a plane, or we get meet somebody. We don't know what effect our witness is going to have. It's none of our business. God doesn't have to explain himself. When the Holy Spirit says, do something, do it. He doesn't have to explain himself. God doesn't have to. We're the servants. He's the master. We're the tool. He's the master. Come on, somebody. He doesn't have to ask permission. He does. Holy Spirit's a gentleman, but he doesn't have to. He's the Lord. If he tells us to do something uncomfortable, we best do it. And we've learned, I fear, in our high and heady manner in this generation, we've forgotten that he's Lord. Even when he says something very clearly, Peter was like God said, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise therefore, go down with them, doubting nothing, for I've sent them. Did Peter obey that? No. He still asked questions. Why do you think he asked questions? There was persecution going on. Three strangers show up at his house and say, a Roman centurion wants to see you. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm going to go to a Roman centurion. Yeah. But he didn't listen to God. God said, behold, doubting nothing, I've sent them. Peter, ever the controller, still inquired of the men, what reason have you come? God said, go. And Peter said, why? But he went. It's okay to question. But if you hear clearly from God, go. I happen to know this just a little bit about God saying go. Several times in my life, he's uprooted Terry and I, and we've went from place to place. People say, why didn't you stay one place and just stay there? Because that's not God, that's not our life. God says to go, we go. I believe this is our last stop before heaven, but we've traveled a lot between the time we said yes to God. Given up everything, given up friends, given up family. You have to be able to obey God whenever he says go. It's not, by the time you hear the word go, it's not time for questions. It's okay to question while you're packing or while you're moving or while you're obeying. Just so you can feel a little bit better about it, but that's not going to change God's direction. Some of you, God's been asking to change for you to change for a long time, and you've been reluctant. Just do it. Change your activity. Change your habits. Change your way of living. Change your eating habits. Change those things. When God says go, when God says change, by the time that word comes to your spirit, it's to do. It's not change and then get back with me if you think you're hearing from me. No, when you hear God's voice, he says, go, go. If he says, change, change. If he says, change your diet, change your diet. If he says, live this way, live that way. If he says, give this much, then you give. You don't question God, because if you question, lean times comes from the Spirit of the Lord. He wants to give his fullness to us. That's free. That's for somebody. It takes guts. It takes courage to hear God and to obey. Not everybody has those guts. You need to pray for the Lord for boldness to do what you're uncomfortable doing. Launch into new areas. Here Peter was. Peter, for Pete's sakes, he's all kinds of confused. First he denies Christ, then he repents, then he thinks he's only going to have 10 or 11 guys. He's got 3,000 and 5,000 and more than can be numbered. Now he's trying to rest at a friend's house. going to eat a nice big meal, and God fusses with him and says, everything you learned about growing up, I'm asking you to change. I died not only for the Jew, but for the Gentile. Somewhere between the rooftop and Simon's door, Peter had an epiphany. Acts 10:24, and the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down on his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. Beware people that want you to worship them. Beware of those that love the spotlight. Everything's okay. The man of God is here. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. How did it go from animals to man? How did that happen? Because somewhere between the rooftop and Cornelius' living room, God dealt with Peter's heart. We've got to stop this nonsense of saying people are... We pre-qualify people who want we think we can witness to, and the people that we don't want to witness to are being drawn by God too. I don't care if they got tats from here to Sunday or earrings that we can't count. Jesus died for them. Or they're belligerent, or they're angry, or they're filthy, or they're drug addicted. They've still got a heart. They're still breathing in and out. God died for them. God died for the least, the last, and the lost. Therefore, I came without objection. Little fib. As soon as I was sent for, old Peter. I asked, and for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. This seems a little bit like the Common Core math. What? What? 2 + 2 = 4. Not 2 + 1 - 3 = 4, 9, 4. God, why are you went to Peter, you came to Cornelius, you had an angel come, you did all that to get one man speak to another man and his family. Why? Because God involves His children in the process of salvation. It's not going to happen aside from us. Cornelius gathered his whole family to hear what Peter had to say. God speaks to man directly. When God sets things up, there is great success. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. Peter was doing something totally against the grain. He was in the enemy's camp. What was supposed to be unclean and the enemy, he showed up in the centurion's living room and spoke the word of the Lord to them. God's going to call you in the next little while. He's going to call you to go and be in some uncomfortable situations. Very uncomfortable. You're going to feel like a fish out of water, but you got to go. If God told you to go, and I believe He's telling us in this generation, go. It's time to bring in the harvest. And harvest fields aren't all the time good places to be. Mud and filth and insects and animals and snakes. And you know, it was common to hear man to hear God. I don't know how we've gotten so far away from we've got to have a man speak to us. Yes, a man leads us to Christ, but we need to hear God. We need to hear God first. When is the last time God spoke to you? I mean, really spoke to your heart. Not just from the Word. Thank God for His Word. God spoke to man all the time. In Acts chapter 6, or Acts chapter 5, He spoke to Peter about Ananias and Sapphira. And we'd like to think Peter had an easy time of it, but he didn't have an easy time of it because when he spoke to Ananias, he died. I mean, like, put that on your resume. I was in a meeting and spoke to a man, he fell over dead. A couple of hours later, his wife came home and she fell over dead. I hear you're looking for a pastor. I'm your man. But he heard from God. He said, you've lied against the Holy Spirit. God spoke to him. The apostles in chapter 6 heard from God. The angel of the Lord stood and said, go out and preach the words of this life. Set free from prison. Chapter 7, Stephen saw the Lord standing, heard God. Philip in chapter 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch. God said, catch up. The Spirit of the Lord said, catch up to the chariot and minister to this guy. Saul in chapter 9, on the road to Damascus, heard God. And Peter in chapter 10 on the roof. I understand it's good to have preaching, it's good to have books, it's good to have things, but God wants to speak to us. So I hear the voice of God. You say, I never heard the audible voice of the Lord. Who's talking about audible? God speaks to your heart. After you walk with God for a while, God speaks to your heart. I thank God for people who yield to the Holy Spirit. I've learned a lesson this last year. How many are blessed by what's happening up on the platform and the worship team? Come on, somebody. Three people, come on, somebody. These guys are being led of the Lord, yielding to the Holy Spirit. Man, the power of God, the presence of God this morning. We've come quite a ways. Got a ways to go. When that heaven starts open, we kind of got scared. But this morning we stepped in a little bit. Amen. Acts 10:34. Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all." That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. Very simple, very direct. Very to the point, he lays out the plan of salvation. Peter declares the gospel is for everyone. Whoever fears God and works righteousness. That's everyone. We do too much pre-qualifying. I dare say there's nobody in this room that would have given me a chance to be a Christian. I was your worst nightmare. I didn't let you up. First guy to try to witness to me. In a long time, I've told this story, I sprayed him down with soapy water. Soaked his Bible, soaked his whole body. God reached me. Come on, how many unreachable people in here? Come on. But God got us, didn't he? He declares to them that they already know the message of repentance. He said, you've heard what happened in Judea, in John the Baptist and the baptism. They had heard of the miracles, signs, and wonders through Jesus. Through the Lord, miracles became commonplace. Everybody heard all across the land. Peter witnesses of the death and the resurrection of Christ. And that's the key to evangelism. Don't just tell somebody that God loves them, that they just need to get saved. Tell them the plan of salvation, because that will speak to their heart. Notice Peter didn't truncate anything. He told them about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter states that he even drank and ate with Christ, proving he was not a spirit. He then says that he was commanded by Christ to preach the good news. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. One of the hardest things to do sometimes is to say the name of Jesus with a bunch of unbelievers. We could talk about God all day long, but when it comes to talking about Jesus, we kind of hesitate. You know why? Because when you say the name of Jesus, he shows up. Are you there? Sometimes not too nice when he shows up. I was out with a bunch of young people witnessing in a section of Dallas, and we went past this house, big house, with a whole bunch of African Americans just out the whole front. They had their 40s and they're drinking and they had their loud music and stuff, and they were all on the front porch, and we were in a van, and we pulled over in a van. I said, "You know, I feel like the Lord wants us to get out here." And there were some hesitant people, because it was raucous, it was loud, they were partying, it was on a Saturday afternoon, and it was nice and warm in Dallas, and they were all sitting on the porch and having a good time. We get out and walked up on the porch, started to witness, each one in front of somebody. I walked over and I bent over to a lady and gave her a hug. I said, "God bless you, darling." I says, "How are you today?" Says, "Jesus loves you." And I reached and I bent over and gave her a hug and grabbed her hand, and she stood up and started to dance. She was dancing. You know, I thought maybe she was drunk or something. She started dancing. She danced even more. And there was a guy who turned out to be her husband, was over on the other side of the porch, and another guy was talking to him, and he started to cry. He said, "What are you crying for?" He said, "You should be happy. She's up dancing." He said, "She hasn't walked in 10 years. So you name the name of Jesus, things happen. How many know everybody on that porch knew that God had come that day? Not everybody got saved, but everybody knew that God had come that day. Some hearts are hard even when miracles happen. There is no other name. The message is simple. If we will not add to it, it will do the work it was sent to do. We must always talk about these ingredients. The fact that Christ came, he went about doing miracles, he carried the sin of the world to Calvary, he rose from the dead, he is still alive today. Listen, talking about Jesus as a historical figure only is detrimental to the gospel. He is alive today. Talk about his birth and his death and his resurrection that happened 2,000 years ago. He's alive today. So I want to do a little role playing just for a second. I asked James, I warned him earlier. And James is going to come up and talk to me about the gospel. We're going to do a role playing a little bit. See what happens. So James, come on up. Usually, the resistance will be there. Because you're winning a soul from the depths of hell, from the kingdom of darkness to light. There's going to be some struggles. Kind of like trying to baptize a cat. There's going to be struggles, but you need to struggle through to the answer. God will give you the way. I've been witnessing to this one person for 2 years now. And every conversation we get into, just get to the point. And I see him pushing back and I go away. Then I just come sometimes and he'll bring it up. It's okay. It may happen in a minute. If it can, we are just asked to be seed planters. Don't expect to, you know, when you walk into a room, just witness to somebody and he gets it. That'll happen. But a lot of times we just plant the seed or water the seed. And sometimes it's a violent act because people, their souls are hanging in a balance. But watch what happens in 44, just closing. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit have been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? They were baptized in the Holy Ghost before they were saved. You know what it says? Preaching of the word is followed by signs and wonders. The folks who came with Peter were astonished that the Gentiles were saved. They spoke with tongues. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't notice any Romans road. I didn't notice any four spiritual laws. Peter just was explaining and the Holy Ghost fell on them. Now, how many know they were saved? They just needed to be baptized and say it. See, we get caught in a rut. A rut's a grave with two ends kicked out. Sometimes we get caught in a rut. We think that there's only certain ways people get saved. Man, God saves people. I went to Bible school with a guy that was tripping on LSD. Peaked on LSD. Watching an old Roman movie. And this Roman centurion turned to this king and said, should the first thing we do in the new world is compromise with the old? And the Holy Ghost fell on him. He got saved and he was straight the next minute. Went from peaking on acid, if you know anything about LSD, to straight and saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Watching a Roman movie. An old black and white movie. On fire for God, man. One of the greatest Christians I ever knew. We just don't know, but we just know that God is drawing people. See? You say, well, he didn't use it. Yes, he did. He used the man. That man that was doing that movie had no idea that one day somebody would be watching that and get saved. How many know God set that up? Take heart. Take heart. It's a new day. Let's take advantage of this rain that's coming. This flood that's coming. The open heaven above us that's here. Try it out. Go witness somebody. Go talk to somebody. Pray for somebody. Watch how quickly things begin to happen. We're going to hear lots of testimonies over this next couple of months. Father, thank you for all that you do and all that you are. I ask that you bless each and every one for their listening ear. God, thank you for visiting us today. Thank you for, Lord, being the Lord of our lives, the Savior of our lives, Father. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name.